Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 95 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Monza-Inter, which finishes 1-1. Goals from Dani Motta in the 81st and Denzel Dumfries in the 88th. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Julian Faustini at Julian_Calcio on Twitter. Johnny's out this weekend. Good for him. This isn't the best game to be jumping on with, but Julian, thanks for jumping on, man.
No, perfect. Thank you, Alessandro. It feels great to make my debut for the Interviews Podcast. It's unfortunately not under the circumstances I wished for sure.
We'll get you on for a win one of these days, but unfortunately, that's not how things played out today. So this is going to be a pretty quick episode. We'll talk a little bit about the game. We'll talk about the players. Before we dive into that, just want to do a bit of groundskeeping. As far as injuries are concerned, the team is fairly healthy. Tejan is still working to come back, but outside of that, everyone looks good. The rotation today, we'll get into it as to why some players sat. But I also, you know, as part of this segment, Julian, wanted to give you an opportunity here to talk about the recent reporting you've been doing. So for guys that don't know, Julian writes is a freelance journalist for SempreInter.com, Get Italian Football News and Football Italia. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
All right. So what have you been writing about recently? What's new? What's the stuff that Interisti need to be paying attention to?
Pretty much what I do is just try to cover news, whether it's interviews that's going on through Gazzetta dello Sport, just pretty much follow the Italian news outlet, try to, you know, cover Italian news in English, try to do interviews with journalists, which I've managed to accomplish. I managed to link up and provide gather insight from several big journalists such as Michele Di Natale, Giovanni Albanese, and many more. And just recently, it's perfect timing to be doing the Interviews Podcast, Sempre Inter's official podcast, as I just recently released my first breaking exclusive with the Sempre Inter regarding Juventus scouts being present at the international friendly against that involved Canada and the United States. So it feels it's the perfect way to end the week to be here talking about the Inter for sure.
Yeah, so it looks like Jonathan David, which has been a name that it makes sense that Inter would be looking at given his contract status, his age, and the position that he plays. You know, it sort of fits perfectly as a puzzle piece. I don't think a lot of Interisti are super excited by the name. I don't know whether it's a bias against Canada or whether, you know, they just don't appreciate the player, but it looks like there potentially is competition if Juventus is involved here.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely seems like it. It seems to be intense. It seems to be tensing up more and more as his contract gets closer to expiration. It's been a name that both teams have been, including Napoli as well, has been tracking from last season as well. And now, given that there's going to be nearly 6 months left on his contract in January, it seems to be highlighting the media more and more. And both teams seem to be placing a focal point on the Canadian forward.
And there was a player similar situation last year, the Thiago Giallo that, you know, Inter was interested in. It looked like that he was going to be signed, you know, not necessarily in January, but that he would wait for Inter in the summer. Juventus ended up, coming in, swooping in and actually making the deal during the January transfer window. Do you expect a similar situation with Jonathan, that a team could make a move in January as to not have to worry about, you know, competition from other teams trying to sign him once the contract is expired?
Inter, no, unless somehow Marco Arnautovic and Joaquin Correa both get, so I think more Marco Arnautovic, because I think his wages are definitely more significant compared to Joaquin Correa. And in terms of Juventus, it would depend. I highly I highly doubt it, unless it would be like a loan with a fee. But other than that, like I highly doubt it. Unless another sale occurs, I don't see that happening. I think both teams would be willing to. Maybe, you never know. Definitely seeing that the Dusan Vlahovic are struggling and they don't really have the advice or advice for him on the bench at the moment. It could, but it's highly unlikely in my opinion.
Yeah. Interesting. Just when you think the season starts, you don't have to talk about the Mercato anymore. It's still on the back burner. It's still reoccurring. So, it's an interesting name for Inter, and we'll see how that plays out. All right. Let's dive into this game a little bit. Absolutely. So, Manchester City in the Champions League midweek, Milan, the next fixture in Serie A, Juventus tying against Empoli coming into the game. Obviously, Milan, you know, got their win, but they're a little further down the table. Napoli gets a win today as well. This looked like a really good opportunity for Inter to, you know, continue to keep pace with everyone up top. They're still, you know, after today's result, just 1 point behind Napoli, but it does feel like an opportunity that was missed. But I think the first, I guess, narrative that we'll pick up on here and talk about is this was a game that felt like an opportunity to rotate and rest some players, especially coming, you know, in after the international break. We saw with this starting lineup, you know, Çalhanoğlu gets a rest, Barella continues to get a rest, even though he wasn't, you know, part of the international fixtures. He did have surgery on his nose. Bastoni, you know, gets to sit down and take a little bit of a break here. But I think coming into the game, Interisti felt confident with our lineup, despite the fact that so many key guys were missing from today. I thought that there would be just one third of the midfield rotated, that we would see Barella, Mkhitaryan, and Aslani. It turns out, you know, he went with Fratesi and Aslani. I thought that was you know, something that could have been exploited by Monza, because that's not the strongest midfield from a defensive perspective, but also these are not players who are familiar with each other. These are not players that are especially, you know, Fratesi, Mkhitaryan, Aslani, if you think about build-up, is probably the weakest midfield that we have, considering you've got the likes of Zielinski, Barella, and Çalhanoğlu on the bench. Are you surprised that Inter struggled against Monza today? It was fairly dominant, but in terms of chance creation and so forth, it didn't look like we had much fluidity there.
I kind of expected it, given that Fratesi and Aslani, well, first of all, they're definitely not as precise, like in terms of the build-up compared to Çalhanoğlu and Barella. Like, there were a lot of more turnovers than usual. And given that they haven't played like that many minutes, like this is both of their first starts. So like, you know, you could tell like, you know, the lack of form, the lack of consistency, playing time definitely had an effect. The first half, I mean, I think we definitely dominated. Like, in possession, we dominated, but it just wasn't as fluid or quick, as swiftly as we usually move the ball around. It was just far too easy for Monza to keep that defensive shape compact.
Yeah, it felt like the Inter wasn't in trouble at all, but they weren't incisive. And I think that's to be expected when you get some rotation, you're coming off the international break. Having been on Twitter, oh, did my connection go out? Can you hear me? Hello? Julian? Oh, man. Can you hear me? Hello? You got me?
Yeah, got you.
No, I can't hear you. You got me now? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to splice this up. All right. So, you know, I think I anticipated a tough game, but if you go sure. on if you go on Twitter right now, you'll see a lot of Interisti melting down. Yeah. It's you know, some people saying this team is worse and so forth. I think you can expect a result like this every single season from all of the sure. from all the top clubs. It's not particularly surprising. Obviously, you want to call it an opportunity miss. You can call it an opportunity miss from the perspective that against Genoa over two legs, the maximum that we can pick up is 4 points. Same thing with Monza. I think those are two teams that you were hoping, you know, at the end of the calendar year, at the end of the season, you would be able to pick up 6 points across two legs for both of those sides. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. Absolutely. But it's certainly not something to be really freaking out about. If this was Barella, Çalhanoğlu, Bastoni on the field for this, and we weren't able to get past Monza, I think then you start having a conversation of this team's getting worse. But it was a rotated side. They're looking ahead to Manchester City, and you know, wasn't the best performance, but it's not like we embarrassed ourselves out there. It was a pretty dominant performance, and we just weren't able to get it done. Do you think that this is symbolic of a team that is struggling, or do you think that this, you know, it just wasn't our day today?
No, I don't think we're necessarily struggling, because I think defensively we were very solid throughout the majority of the game. We were well balanced. The press was good. We had a good balance between pressing high and dropping back. I feel like Monza didn't really cause much menace. I feel like we certainly dominated possession. Just the fluidity and the pace was lacking in terms of usual, and the clinical finishing as well. Like, we created two clear-cut chances with it. I think we, even though it wasn't our best first half, I think we did enough, in my opinion. We did enough to gain the lead. We had Lautaro Martinez with a header, all left alone in the box. Di Marco pinned a brilliant cross in, and he missed it. And also Davide Fratesi with a volley pretty much alone at the top of the box, the volley, clear-cut volley, and just couldn't connect properly. So those two chances were a must, and I think we definitely did enough to gain the lead despite the slow start. I think it was just an off day, given the international break too. It's a little bit difficult. It's always a little bit difficult to get back into the swing of things. But overall, I think we showed character at the end to make gain the equalizer. Are we a struggling side? No, but it's just upsetting given what happened, what occurred throughout the league today, yesterday with the Juve dropping points to Empoli and so forth. I think that's the frustration is definitely caused by that.
Yeah, for sure. Would you have rotated less if you were Simone, or was this a side that you would have rolled with? Keeping in mind, Barella and Çalhanoğlu and Bastoni are, you know, they should be perfectly fit for, you know, a tough opening Champions League match against Manchester City away from home.
I thought Zielinski was going to start over Mkhitaryan. I had Zielinski starting. Barella, Çalhanoğlu, and Zielinski, to be honest with you. But I think Çalhanoğlu was injured a little bit, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Hakan went into the break carrying a bit of muscle fatigue.
Injuries. I didn't think they want to risk it. But I had Zielinski, Barella, and Çalhanoğlu. I was hoping that we would gain an early lead, and Inzaghi making early substitutions to rest the players. It was interesting to see Aslani and Fratesi play at the same time. I just feel like it caused a little bit of lack of stability in the first half. Like, Fratesi's first touch was a little bit weird and was just off, and Aslani too. But in the second half, both of them grew into the match. I found that was like a true regista performance from Aslani. In the second half, he was
settled in.
Fratesi too settled in. I was a little bit shocked to see both Fratesi and Aslani start for sure.
Yeah,
at the same time.
Yeah, of the players that let's get into, you know, into the players. As far as the performance is concerned, it was essentially domination from Inter in the first half, those two chances that you mentioned with Lautaro's header from Di Marco's cross and then the volley that Fratesi had. The second half, again, you know, Inter dominating possession, Monza sitting in a low block, having trouble breaking them down. Monza gets a set piece, not it wasn't even a set piece goal. Monza gets a goal on a cross into the box that Dani Mota is able to get to. Inter responds within a couple of minutes. Carlos Augusto and Dumfries, the two wing backs combining, for Dumfries to put that away at the back post, then, you know, it's a 1-1 draw. That's really the story of the game. If you want to sit down and break down every action, I don't really think that that's the best way to go about it. I think we can get into this team and some of these players. So why don't we start up top with Lautaro and Thuram? Lautaro does not look very sharp to start the season. He looks a little bit out of form. Obviously, he came to the team, came to preseason pretty late in the summer, didn't participate in any of the preseason friendlies, and then immediately just, you know, starts pretty much every game from here on, from the start of the season to now. Are you worried about where Lautaro is right now? Do you expect him to turn it around fairly shortly, or do you think that maybe this you know, trying to get back as soon as possible for the start of the season, starting in that first game, might have been a mistake? We should have held him back a little bit and, you know, let him get some rest until he was fully ready to go.
Yeah, no, definitely Lautaro in the final third hasn't been the most convincing. It's pretty much a stark opposite compared to last season. He opened up the season fairly strong. It's a bit of a tight situation because on one hand, like, he was the Campo Campania the last season, was a core factor of the title winning campaign, literally a key contributor. Him and the Thuram linked up very well and gelled perfectly last season. So a little bit of a difficult one. I think I would have definitely started him regardless. I think Inzaghi's been doing well. Like, today, you know, called it an off day, saw that he was underperforming, made the switch early on, you know, despite him being the skipper, the leader that the team looks at. I think, am I concerned at the moment? Yes, considering, like, right now that we're in a difficult point of the season where we're playing Manchester City, the opening game of the Champions League, the Milan Derby coming up, which right now seems like a must win. I mean, the Derby's always a must win, but given that we're trailing a little bit from Napoli now after having dropped points against Monza, it's definitely even more significant than it already was. So, I think he'll definitely get back into the swing of things. And also, I think with the depth we have up top with Taremi and Thuram, I feel like eventually they could they'll find their groundbreaking form again eventually. And I feel like we just have more goal contributors this season other than just Thuram and Lautaro Martinez last season, who were like the main like sources of our goals.
Yeah. I'm not super worried about where Lautaro is right now. I'm more so, the concern comes from Lauti and Thuram not looking the way that they did last season, right? Obviously, Thuram has been pretty immense to start the season, but that pairing just isn't clicking the way that it did last season. It's not to say that they aren't going to find it. They just haven't, you know, found it so far. I think it's a problem with football fandom in general. It's just like these are not robots. Like, you're not just gonna like, okay, Lautaro, Thuram, they're on the field and everything's gonna be perfect. It's like, it does take it takes a second. They both played international tournaments all summer long. They both returned from vacation early. It was a tough preseason. Like, they're getting into the flow of things. I think no one shits on Inter the way that Interisti do. It's really wild to see. It's honestly kind of embarrassing, not to, you know, go after you guys, but it's so weird how quick you are to just put down everyone, where it's like, just, you know, it's a long season. Actually, it's not a long season. It's the longest season that is ever going to be played in the history of football. Like, just watch how things play out. It's you're nervous about Napoli or you're nervous about Juventus. It's like, those teams have their own problems as well. Like, just, this team will be fine. Bastoni didn't play a single minute today. He's a key piece of this team. Acerbi didn't play a single minute today. Barella didn't play a single minute today. Çalhanoğlu didn't play a single minute today. Yet it's like you freak out. It's not particularly the most important game in the grand scheme of things. If Inter doesn't secure the title this year, I highly doubt it's going to come down to, you know, not getting 3 points in this away game against Monza, coming off an international break, heading into the Champions League. It's like, you know, and the reason that I feel so strongly about this, and the reason why it bothers me to see some of the discourse on Inter Twitter, I get criticizing the club if they don't show up and put in a great performance, which it wasn't a great performance today. That we definitely have some stuff to criticize some players about, but at the end of the day, it's like this team has been so good. You know, we saw it against Atalanta, the way that this team played. Like, this team has been so good. It's not going to last forever, and you should appreciate it while you have it. Support the team. We're not at all out of any of our objectives. It was a shit day, and these days are going to happen. It's a little frustrating that, you know, Monza and Genoa away early in the season, you don't pick up full points, but I'm just not worried about this team. Sorry for that little rant there. It's just, I just pulled up Twitter on my computer, and it's just, you know, it's wild. All right, talking about the midfield. So we did see two new faces that we haven't seen from the start for Tezzi and Aslani today. Out of those two, did one of them stand out as sort of like they earned their place today, or were both of them a little bit below par?
No, I feel like Aslani definitely grew into the regista position. I think given his physique, we all question whether he had the strength to, you know, hold up the midfield, to be that backbone, that deep line playmaker. And I think, especially in the second half, he demonstrated it quite well, actually. Maybe a little bit more turnovers and imprecise passes than usual, but he worked hard tracking back, and they broke up quite a few plays. And like I said, the second half, he really settled into the game. So I think definitely Aslani really impressed me.
Do you think he has a future at Inter? I think a lot of, you know, some of the talk that's been around the Interverse, you know, since Samuele Ricci has been turning it on from Italy, is that was a player that they wanted to see for the post-Hakan era. Do you think Aslani has a place in this team long-term, or is he eventually going to be used, you know, to sell off and we're looking for a new regista soon?
I think this season is an important season for him. For me personally, I think this season is a very important season. You have Mkhitaryan aging, Çalhanoğlu aging as well. Maybe Inter might be willing to part ways with Çalhanoğlu next season or to get those capital gains. So I think definitely for me, it's a big season for Aslani. I think also even Giovanni Fabian, who's at Bologna, I think it's a big season for him too, with the buyback clause. Perhaps if we make huge changes in the midfield, depending on how he performs, maybe we can bring him back. I think it's a moment for Aslani where he has to really perform consistently if he really wants to gain his spot and solidify his cemented spot per se with the Nerazzurri.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, one of the things with Aslani, a lot of people turning on him, is he is a 22-year-old kid. You know, we weren't seeing what we're seeing from Çalhanoğlu now at that age, right? It's like, you know, players take time to develop. I agree with you about the physicality. We saw more of that being exposed today. Monza is a very physical team, so they really, you know, they kind of, it was the perfect opportunity to see those shortcomings from Aslani. But as far as the switches of play, I mean, it's the same story with him. Like, we know he has the ability to switch the ball. We know he has the ability to play direct. We know that, you know, he can deliver a set piece, and he has like these traits. You know, I think part of it is going to be, he really has to shine in some of the opportunities that he gets game time, as opposed to just, you know, one of those like solid performances. I think we're waiting for a standout game from him in an Inter shirt, and we still really haven't seen it. So for me, jury's still out on him. I'm not saying that I don't believe that he can be part of the team long term, but I do think it's fair to ask some questions. Fratesi, you know, switching over to him, he is what he is. There was conversation. Gazzetta had a, you know, it was their main right. story not too long ago that, you know, Fratesi getting his opportunity at Inter, and you know he really wants it, and Inzaghi's going to grant him the minutes, and I just don't think that it's necessarily he's not necessarily ready to be doing that, especially when you have the likes of Barella, Mkhitaryan, and Zielinski potentially starting over him. I feel that his role is best. You know, he's best suited to be coming off the bench. Did the status quo change with today's performance, or is there the narrative going to continue that this is basically just a goal poacher that you bring off the bench, you know, after the 75th minute, and that's how he's going to be able to contribute to this team?
I think the second half he was all right, like similar to Aslani, he settled in, he seemed a little more comfortable, but I think overall, like, this possessive style of play that Inzaghi likes to implement is just overall the. I think he's a great player, Fratesi, but it's just really difficult for him to adapt to it. And I think ultimately, for me, like, he's truly a goal poacher. I just feel like it's hard to change the way he is. He's somebody who likes to run forward, direct, goal poacher, makes those beautiful, perfectly timed runs into the box. It seems like he lacks the technicality in those tight spaces to keep the ball and play those quick passes, like Barella and Calhanoglu and Mkhitaryan as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take some time for that to be a part of his game, if it's ever going to be a part of his game. But I think for now, people that are screaming for Fratesi to start, which I don't really see that amongst sort of the intelligent Interisti, I think on Twitter. No one's really calling for Fratesi to start. It's more of like a media thing where they want to make it this thing that he's like unhappy without the game time. Look what he's doing with Italy. It's like, I don't really know if that's the case. It might be something that's just fabricated. Mkhitaryan reports coming out that he's absolutely going to play these next three games. After seeing Zielinski come on in the second half, you know, playing pretty well. Again, these are his first minutes in an Inter jersey this season. How are you feeling about the rotation between Mkhitaryan and Zielinski, where it seems like Miki has a stranglehold on it, which is, you know, fair to think of from Inzaghi's perspective, where he's put so much faith in him. But do you see that changing anytime soon, or do you think you know, Zielinski is going to have to keep waiting for his opportunity?
I think it'll take a little. I think it's going to take a little bit more time. Like, I think today, like, he played quite well today, to be honest. I think he brought a little bit more of that intensity. Like, I feel like Inter kind of shifted into second gear when he came on. Like, we're moving a bit more slick, I find, like, with our passes. But I don't know. In terms of, like, the final third, like, some of his deliveries weren't the best. And I think one occasion I was surprised he didn't shoot from outside the box, and he crossed it. And Zielinski's like one of the best when it comes to shooting from far. So I just found it strange. Perhaps he was trying to play it safe on his debut. Who knows? But I would have liked to have seen him score to shoot, because I think that's one of the main reasons why I was so happy that Zielinski was coming, was because, like, he's known for scoring goals. He scored quite a few goals with Napoli from the midfield, and considering Inter's problems of last season, where the main source of our goals were Thuram and Lautaro, like, I was just thrilled to have Inzaghi exploit Zielinski in the midfield in order to increase the goal tally, or the various goals, sources of goals, for sure.
Early days. So yeah, it's tough to make any judgments, but if I know Interisti, they will be doing so. All right, let's talk about the wingbacks here. So Di Marco, 90 minutes after getting a ton of time of playing time during the international break, I put out a poll before the game just asking who Interisti thought would be rotated. Ultimately, that poll came out with Di Marco on top. I think, you know, knowing what we know about his fitness, you know, it was reasonable to expect maybe that he would go to the bench. But with Palacios not quite ready. It looks like he didn't want to play Acerbi as well, since he's got a matchup with Holland this week. He's not going to slide into the left center back position. So both DiMarco and Carlos Augusto get 90 minutes today. Would you have preferred to see Acerbi from the start, De Vrij in the middle, Acerbi at left center back, and Carlos Augusto at left wing back? Or do you think we're just sort of in the position, as far as the depth is concerned, where DiMarco had to play today?
I think I would have preferred having rested DiMarco, given how many minutes he played for Italy, for sure, and slotting in Acerbi. But in terms of like the overall play, like I felt comfortable, like in terms of like stability in the back line, I was pretty comfortable with having Carlos Augusto playing the left center back role. I think he did that fairly well when Bastoni was injured. He's been playing there for months, and last season he showed that he fit there seamlessly last season as well. So like, in terms of resting minutes, like in terms of resting DiMarco, yes, I would have preferred Carlos Augusto. But in terms of stability, like, or in terms of overall play, like, I think it was, for me, I was totally fine with Augusto being deployed as a left center back and DiMarco
on the left. As far as the right side is concerned, so Darmian has had a really good start to the season. Today, you know, not his greatest performance. Dumfries comes on, I believe, in the 56th minute, so he got a significant amount of game time here, and ends up getting, you know, the equalizing goal against Manchester City. Who do you expect to come in? Do you think Darmian is going to start from the beginning, given the trickiness of the wide players for City? Or do you think Denzel will reclaim his starting spot midweek during the Champions League?
It's going to be tough. It's a tough call for sure. Like, both of them are different. I think Dumfries, for me, just given the pace that he has, I think he's a little bit faster compared to Darmian. I think that will definitely play more. That will definitely add the value. But it's tricky. Both of them have their pros and cons. Like, it's a bit of a tough one to call. But I would start Dumfries. For me personally, I would start Dumfries.
Yeah, me too. I think it is time to shift over. Again, I do recognize that Darmian is at a good start to the season, but let's be honest. You know, I think it's pretty clear that he's on the tail end of his career, and Dumfries is someone who, you know, about to sign a new contract with Inter. So if this is going to be the guy moving forward, you know, let's see what that looks like. Remember, he started last season super, super well until his injury, and that kind of took it away. So, you know, hoping to see that return to form shortly. As far as the defense is concerned, I think it's the player that I feel you can be most critical about today. There's two players, I think Lautaro, and the other one is Thuram. Pavard. At right center back. This was likely his worst game in an Inter shirt. It didn't seem like the Pavard that we know. Like, it just seemed a player who was unsure going forward defensively. We're not used to seeing him lose challenges or, you know, attempt a tackle a little bit too early and get spun or whatever it might be. He was off today. What did you think of Pavard's performance? And are you worried at all about this performance heading into midweek?
Yeah, no, definitely not his best. I think his worst performance as a Nerazzurri player since arriving from Bayern Munich, for sure. Wasn't really involved going forward. Didn't make those typical, like, Bastoni runs, as we like to call them, moving forward with the attack. Some of his passes were quite poor, to be honest. And even the defensively, not as composed and solid as we know him to be. Am I worried? No, I think he's top quality, and I think he'll, you know, just I think it's just a warning sign to, he'll take it as a warning sign to wake up, and I think he'll perform. I think he'll wake up against the City, given that the significance of the match. In a way, I prefer that it was a bad match today against Monza,
right?
Given the result, and you know, he kind of, you know, takes this as a learning opportunity heading to the match against City and also the Milan Derby right after.
Yeah, he's been so consistently great for us that you know, it's one of those things where, okay, a really great player had an off night. Like, let's rebound and move forward to the next one. Yeah. De Vrij comes in for Acerbi. I thought he was decent today, but some of the performances last year had a lot of folks questioning whether or not he should be the starter over Acerbi. I do think that today's performance kind of puts that answer to bed. Acerbi is the starter, should be the starter moving forward. This isn't really a competition for that first team shirt. What did you think of the Dutchman's performance? Do you think, you know, there is an opportunity for him to overtake Acerbi, or is Acerbi just better for what Inzaghi wants to do with this team?
Yeah, no, it was interesting. I don't think he played extremely poor. I don't think he played like top notch as well. I think so far, I think Acerbi still gets the start for me, unless he goes to a major decline. He made some great challenges. I think aerial dominance was there, but towards the end, before Monza scored, there was another header opportunity where like he was beat, and like, I don't know, I just find like those margins for error is just when he's going towards like these title races, like these small margin of errors make a big difference, and we just can't have that happening.
Yeah. Hey, we spoke a little bit about Carlos Augusto, but obviously he's meant to be the left wing back backup. How did you think he did today, slotting back into the three man defense?
I think he played really well, to be honest. I really enjoyed the runs that he was going forward, which similar to Bastoni does. It was interesting to see the dynamic where Di Marco would cut towards the middle to provide Carlos Augusto with space, and ultimately that pretty much was the catalyst for the goal. Essentially, Carlos Augusto making run out wide. Low driven cross into the box to find Dumfries at the second post. That was the best sequence of the game, and just the pace of the passes and the precision. Like that was an Inzaghi, typical Inzaghi type goal.
The triangular
movement and the switch to one side of the pitch to the other. That was the best sequence for me.
Yeah. All right, Jan Sommer, last guy up here. Like I said, the guys, sorry, this has got to be a quick episode. We got to get out of here, but Jan Sommer, for sure. nothing to really talk about. Nima, obviously the founder of SimpatyInter.com, he mentioned on the Italian Football Podcast that he thought Joseph Martinez has a chance to start against Manchester City as more of a European type footballer. Do you think that there's a chance of that? I personally don't, but do you think there's a chance that Joseph is the European goalkeeper a la Andre Onana a few years ago?
Not at this stage, no. I mean maybe with the when we start playing against the weaker teams, and maybe when we start to realize that we have a pretty good advantage. I just don't see Inzaghi making such a ballsy move at this age, at this like the opening game, especially because Jan Sommer, I mean, like apart from the howler against Genoa, yeah, he's been particularly fine. Today was okay, but mind you, today didn't really get tested too much, and the goal that went in, there was nothing more you could have done. That's a fantastic header from Dani Mota. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. But for now, no. It could have changed definitely if Sommer starts to dip in form.
Yeah. I don't think we'll see him against Manchester City, despite the fact that he might be marginally better with the feet. But I think what Sommer brings as far as shot stopping is still more valuable than that. We saw Arnautovic, Correa, Taremi, Zielinski, Dumfries. Pick one of these players that you thought was good in his performance. Taremi, Zielinski, Dumfries came in the 56th, Correa and Arnautovic in the 74th.
For me, I think the one that impressed me the most would have to be Taremi. I just love, even though he didn't score, I find he's such a great hold up striker. He's quite fast as well, and has a great touch, fantastic wrist touch.
Yeah, super comfortable dropping deep, really, as well, like really comfortable combining in tight spaces, which I think is something that we've been hoping for. All right, what grade would you give Simone for today's game?
Today, I would give him out of 10, probably a 7.5, 8, I think.
8 out of 10.
Because, I mean, for me, like, I don't know, I just found... If I wouldn't have started both Aslani and Fratesi, but at the same time, like, I think his read of the game was very good, in the sense that he made three switches. He brought on, he made the last two switches at the end, which Correa was involved in that sequence. Dumfries scored the goal.
Yeah.
And Inter pretty much, to me, like, although it was an off match, like, Inter, despite not being at their best in the first half, I think Inter did enough to gain the lead in the first half, and they should have. Right. So, like,
at some point, it's on the players.
That's why, like, at a certain point, I don't feel like we were tactically out. I just think had we scored the goals, those goals in the first half, it would have ultimately changed the game. I think. Probably seven. I said that's 7.5, 8. I think towards the end, Inzaghi really tried to push for the win, bringing on Arnautovic and Correa, which perhaps left us exposed at the end there. Switching the to with like a almost like a Torrequartista role. Definitely left us a little bit more exposed defensively going forward. But overall, I don't think it was entirely his fault. I think he did quite well managing it.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit more critical, I'll say around like 5.5, but I do think that you're right. I do think that you're right in the fact that, like, it seems pretty obvious that this wasn't the most important game of the year, because if it was, he would have subbed in Barella and Çalhanoğlu. Like, I think that he, right. You know, it's one thing with that Interisti are constantly asking for rotation, and then we get it, and then we're like, no, play Barella and Çalhanoğlu. It's like he came into the game saying those guys were gonna sit. He put faith in the rotated players, and they didn't come through. So it's kind of like, you know, typical football fan that they want it both ways, and you know, not really understanding how things work. So yeah, I'll give Simona a little bit more of a critical rating, just based off of the fact that, you know, maybe he could have played Barella or Çalhanoğlu with those 15 minutes remaining and seen if that changed the game. But if he decided they weren't going to get anything today, they weren't going to get any minutes today. All right. I've got to bounce. Julian, thank you so much for jumping on here. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners where they can follow your stuff?
Yeah, no, definitely. You guys could follow. Like you said, my Twitter handle is at Julia_Calcio. Pretty much there, you could follow me at you can follow my stuff at the Get Italian Football News, Foot Italia, and be sure to you know, follow Sempre Inter as well, where I dropped my exclusive, and of course, for all Inter fans, you already know Sempre Inter is the place to be to get all your Inter news, and definitely the interviews podcast. The number one Inter podcast in the world for me.
Thank you, Julian. I appreciate that. I appreciate you jumping on. We'll get you on for a win one of these days, that's for sure. If Inter ever wins another game.
I know it's out of your control, but yeah, it'll be great to have some to have some celebrations with you and Danny for sure.
If you went on Inter Twitter for sure today, you would think that we're never going to win a game again. So maybe not. Who knows? But thanks for jumping on, man. We will see everyone for the post-match after Manchester City. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.